This week, June 9th, 2015, on The Digital Story. Photos for OS X gets an update with El Capitan. Conflicting reports on the state of the camera industry. Free film emulator online. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. Have some interesting items for your listening pleasure. We're going to start out with a weekly update. And this is a fun weekly update because I have two reports on basically the same topic that absolutely conflict with one another. So we'll see what you think about that. I'm having fun with it anyway. And then on Monday, Apple had its keynote address for the WWDC. That's its developers conference. And they talked a little bit about the new version of Mac OS X, which will be called El Capitan, new iOS 9, Watch iOS 2. I have to remember all these numbers. And in all of that, there was some information about the next version of Photos for OS X, and we'll talk about that a bit. I have a free goodie for you, and free goodies are always fun, especially something useful like a film emulator. A chance for you to give your photos a look from maybe one of your favorite emulsions from the past, and some bits and bobs in our Virtual Camera Club news. So lots to do, and I think we should get to it. The weekly update. Sony rides wave of U.S. mirrorless sales surge. DP Review reports, quote, mirrorless sales in the USA are rising, with sales values up 16.5% over the past year, says market researcher NPD Group. Sony highlighted the figures while celebrating its own success, with the success of the A7 series helping to generate 66% more income from mirrorless sales over the last 12 months. NPD Group says DSLR sales values fell 15% over the same period. Sony also points out that the Consumer Electronics Association has recently chosen mirrorless, short for mirrorless interchangeable lens camera, as its approved term for the class of cameras, with ILC as an umbrella term for mirrorless and DSLRs. And again, that was reported on DP Review. And by the way, NPD is a group that we followed a lot when I was working for LowPro, trying to figure out what kind of bags we should design for the coming year and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, they say mirrorless sales up, DSLR sales down. Now, in other news, we go over to imagingresource.com, and they report April numbers show 40% increase in DSLR shipments, stagnant for mirrorless. And I quote, Camera and Imaging Products Association, CIPA, has published the numbers for April camera shipments. According to the publication, DSLR shipments have increased roughly 40%, a surprising stat when you take into consideration DSLR sales declined steadily over the past few years. Also revealed in the numbers is the continuing trend of stagnant mirrorless camera shipments. Since early 2013, mirrorless shipments have been all but flat, with a few dips both up and down in the fall of 2013 and winter of 2014, respectively. So, CIPA, Camera and Imaging Products Association, says that mirrorless camera shipments are flat and DSLR shipments are up in April. I don't know why they're just reporting April and not the rest of the months. But when they're talking about mirrorless cameras, they're talking about since early 2013, and they say that they are flat or down. So this is interesting. CIPA versus NPD. Who is correct? Well, my guess is neither. You know, to be perfectly honest with you, the reason why I did these two reports for the weekly update is because I don't like these reports that are just based on part of the picture. And that's my feeling of what goes on with things like this, where we get a slice of the pie, but not the whole pie. And these reports influence what certain people do. For example, especially when it comes to mirrorless cameras, people that are thinking about moving into mirrorless, if they see a report and says, you know, mirrorless sales are flat, they're stagnant, they've been flat since 2013, you know, it doesn't seem like people want them that much, then they might not do it. They might not make the move because of some report. Because why? Because they don't want to buy something that isn't hot or popular. And that is a human nature fact. So at any rate, these reports do not jive. And in general, I don't think these reports really reflect what's going on in the whole market. And that is this week's weekly update. Story number one. Photos for OS X gets minor update with El Capitan. So I watched the WWDC keynote today. I'm recording this on Monday. And I watched the whole thing. It was long. It was over 2 hours long. And they went through all the OSs. And then they introduced Apple Music. And the whole time, you know, I was waiting for photography news. I was waiting. One of the things I was waiting for that I didn't get confirmation on, although based on putting some pieces together, was, you know, is Aperture and iPhoto, are they still going to be operable, functional in the next version of Mac OS X, which will be El Capitan? And I guess there were some notes in the developer notes, which I don't have access to, about Aperture. So as I find out more about that, I'll be reporting on it. We've got a ways to go before we really have to worry about El Capitan much. And during this presentation, this over 2 hour and some odd minute presentation, they didn't really talk about photos for OS X at all. If you go to the El Capitan preview page, as some of my listeners pointed me to, if you go down the page, down the page, down the page a bit, they did have two notes about photos for OS X. So I'm going to cover those first, and then we'll talk about photography in general on Apple devices. So the two things that we will see in El Capitan, the first one I was told flat out wasn't going to happen, which I think is interesting. And that is new editing extensions let you go further with your photos. Now, this is right off the Apple page because, heaven forbid, I don't want to get in trouble for saying something out of line here. OS X El Capitan supports third-party tools that will be available from the Mac App Store and accessible right in the Photos app. Use multiple editing extensions from your favorite developers on a single photo, or use a mix of extensions and the editing tools built into Photos. From adding subtle filters to using beautiful texture effects, you can take your photo editing to a whole new level. Now, this was something that from the get-go, we thought was going to be part of Photos for OS X. The thinking being that Apple would rewrite the app with fresh code so that it operated quickly, which they did. Photos for OS X is fast, fast, fast. And I love that about the app. They also wrote it so that it integrate with iCloud and therefore integrate with all your other mobile devices, which it also does. And then the thinking would be, okay, we're not going to put everything from Aperture in Photos for OS X, but we'll have an open architecture so that developers can add tools to it. And thereby, over time, Photos for OS X will become more and more functional in the world of image editing. We held on to that when we had heard that. This is way back when, before public discussion about. And then we talked about it, and then we were told flat out, no, that's not going to happen. So, okay, so then backed off that. And then here in El Capitan, guess what? It is alive. And they are going to do it, which I suspected all along. This is good news, you know, regardless of the path that we take to get there, because there's a lot of great developers out there, many, many, who love photography and who will do interesting things you know, to plug into Photos for OS X. And I think what we'll see is that Photos will become a much more interesting app as a result of these third-party developer tools. So I can't wait for this to happen. I think it's very good news, and I'm actually quite excited about it. Now, they also had another little blurb on the page, and it says, "Everything in its place. Photos has been fine-tuned to make it even easier to manage your library. Now you can add a location to a single image or to an entire moment. Naming your favorite people and faces is faster with a streamlined workflow. You can also sort your albums and the contents inside of them by date, title, and more." Again, this is good stuff. We're slowly getting some of those organizational tools back. Of course, we're not getting back the one thing that a lot of us want, which is star ratings. So no mention of star ratings for the El Capitan version of Photos for OS X, but at least we do get a little bit more control over how our images are sorted. So those are the two biggies that Apple has actually put on their page for Photos for OS X that will come out with El Capitan. I don't have a release date yet, but generally speaking, we see these things in late summer, early fall. And I suspect we will see it sometime around then. Developers need some time after this conference to get familiar with the new tools and to start writing their apps and get them ready for the release of the OS. So that is good. Now, in general, the photo news was light during the keynote. There were little things such as they're rewriting the Notes application for El Capitan. And that's a cool little app. I like Notes, mainly because you create it and, you know, the notes are on all your devices. And they're adding, you know, font control and, you know, all sorts of good stuff. And one of the things that they're adding is that there'll be a camera icon now in the bottom toolbar. They're adding a toolbar. And you can easily add pictures to your notes so that if you're talking about, you know, buying a water faucet at a hardware store, you can grab a picture of it and then just drop it in that note so you know what to look for. And then boom, it's on your computer and it's on your iPhone and all that other stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then somewhat tangential, but I think still related, is that they're bringing split windows or split view or side-by-side windows, whatever you want to call it, to the iPad, which will allow you, for example, to have one window with your images there on one side and then another window where you're doing something, maybe working in Pages or something like that, on the other side. And then, you know, you can have them both active at the same time, drag and drop and all that good stuff. So I think that's very useful for photographers, nimble photographers who want to use their iPad on the go and have a little better workflow, a little easier working experience. That's the good news. Now, the bad news is if you want all of the features that they're talking about, you'll need the latest version of the iPad Air, which is, I believe right now is the iPad Air 2, in order to get side-by-side windows or split view. So the other iPads, like my iPad Mini Retina display, can use some of the features, but it won't be able to handle side-by-side. And what they said during the keynote is because of processing power. It requires a lot more processing power. And the iPad Air 2 is the most powerful of the iPads. So good news, bad news on that front concerning split view. Then there was just some real bits and bobs, such as with Watch OS 2, you'll be able to do things like pull up a photo on your watch and then use the Taptic Engine, you know, tap and hold on it. And then on the menu that follows, you can say, set this as my, you know, my watch background, things like that. So they're kind of photo-related stuff, but not really for photographers. So all in all, I thought the news in the world of photography was quite light at the keynote. Obviously, the music news was much bigger with Apple Music being this whole environment that they're creating that has everything in it, your music, streaming music, artist contributions outside of, you know, just their music, but, you know, photos and content and a radio station, with, live people and all that good stuff. So all of that was interesting, but certainly not photography news. We'll see if they manage to get anything else in photos for OS 10 with El Capitan. But right now, we're basically looking at photo extensions, which is very good news, and a little bit of organization, which is so-so news, because we really want star ratings. And I should mention, by the way, since we're talking about this app, that on lynda.com, lynda.com, I have up and running with Photos for OS 10 training published. It's there right now. I think it went up like a week or 2 weeks ago. And it's a good training. It really shows you what you can do with Photos for OS 10 right now. And what was interesting about that training is that they had me record it in my studio here at The Digital Story instead of going to the Carpinteria studio. The thinking being that as these updates begin to flow in, we can update the training very quickly. And that's what we're going to do. So for example, the two features that I talked about today, when they're live and when we actually can use them, then I will quickly update that training for lynda.com up and running with Photos for OS 10. And just know that, we're going to keep both that training and subsequent trainings on Photos for OS 10 very relevant. So when you watch them, chances are that most of what you need and most of what is available will be in that training. I had a lot of fun doing it. And if you're interested in Photos for OS 10 and want to learn more about it, definitely take a look at Up and Running with Photos for OS 10 by yours truly, Derek Story. Story number two, free online film emulator. This is really cool. So I first learned about this film emulator from a Petapixel article. So I went over and took a look at it and, tried it out because I love this stuff. I have FilmPak and a couple other apps that allow me to apply film look. And I use them for my commercial work all the time. So sometimes I use a Kodachrome 64 emulation. Sometimes I use a Fuji Velvia. Who knows? It could be, just about anything. So anyway, all those cost money. This free film emulator is posted online, and I have the URL in the show notes. I'll give it to you right now, but you can just go to show notes. So it's, http://29a.ch/film-emulator. 29a.ch/film-emulator. That will get you to it. And when you go there, you have a very nice interface, and you click on the upload button and you upload a photo to it, one of your images. And then on the right side, you have all these different films to play with. And it works as you would expect. You choose a film, let's say Kodachrome 64. It applies that effect. It uses JavaScript. This is a JavaScript app, so it should work on practically any computer. It applies the Kodachrome 64 look to the image. And then you have sliders so that you can fine-tune it, with doing different controls, exposure and so forth. Now, if you go to the settings, which is up at the top of the toolbar there, what I recommend that you do is that you enable Show Advanced Controls. That's what it says, Show Advanced Controls. And that even gives you more sliders to play with after you've applied the film emulsion, such as vibrancy and things like that. So then once you get the image looking the way that you want, then you download it. You're working in your web browser. So you're just working in a regular web browser. I was working in Safari when I did this. So then you download it to your computer, and there it is. There's the image with all of the effects applied. Now, the only kind of screwy thing was when it downloaded the image and put it on my desktop, which is where I asked it to put it, it didn't have a file extension on it, and it didn't have a name. It was like untitled, period. So therefore, you don't have a thumbnail because the OS doesn't know what to do with it. So all I did was I just gave it a name and then I added .jpg and then boom, now you have a thumbnail. I double clicked on it, it launched preview, and there was my image in all of its glory. So yeah, that's easy enough to do, and I'm sure it's a little scripting thing that they'll fix at some point or another. But when you first download it, if it doesn't appear to be anything, all you got to do is just put a file extension on it. Just put .jpg, and you will be fine. Now, it works quickly. It worked quickly on my MacBook Pro, and it's really one of those things where you can put a handful of images on your desktop and just play with them. Just see how they're going to look. Now, I didn't try them on an iOS device. I didn't try it in a web browser for iPad or anything. That's going to be the next thing that I do. If you do and you want to report on it, then just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. I always post the podcast on our Facebook page, so you can add a comment there in terms of if you've tried it on Windows, if you've tried it on Linux, and if you've tried it on a mobile device, and you can report on how it worked, and that would be helpful for everyone else. So just a really kind of cool thing, and again, it's online, it works in the browser, it's free, they don't charge you anything, it's fast, it looks good, and you can get it at 29a.ch/film-emulator, film-emulator, and it's something kind of fun to play with. I had a blast with it. Okay, let's stroll over to the screening room. I have one that's a little bit off the photography beaten path today, but I think is interesting. And it's called Foundations of Graphic Design History with Sean Adams. So basically, that's exactly what Sean does. I actually studied graphic design a lot and design in general in college, and actually have a minor in design. And I always felt that what I studied in design really helped my photography, really helped me develop my eye, look at the world, understand how perspective and shading and how to arrange elements within a frame, how all that stuff sort of works. So I'm interested in graphical stuff, and that's part of the reason why I put this one in for our screening room selection. And I think Sean does an excellent job. So if you think you might be interested in that stuff also, then take a look. All you have to do is go over to lynda.com, lynda.com/thedigitalstory, and there'll be an introductory movie there. You can check it out, and if you like what you see, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch all of Sean's movies, plus every other title in the library, including my brand new up and running with Photos for OS X. And that is this week's screening room selection. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. So, I am very close to leaving for the Eastern Sierra. Starting Thursday evening, our Eastern Sierra workshop. Yes, the TDS Bodie and Eastern Sierra Photo Workshop begins. We'll be at the Silver Maple Inn in Bridgeport, California, which is right up the road from Bodie State Historical Park, the ghost town there, the silver mining ghost town there, Mona Lake, and many, many other attractions. And I'm so jazzed about this. I've rented a van. We've got this great setup. We're going to be having our meetings and our labs in this 1880s house called Kane House, which is right there on the property of the hotel. We're going to visit Bodie. We're going to visit Mona Lake. We're going to visit some places that are given to us by local folks that the general public doesn't know about, local photographers. And we just finished putting together the food menu, so we're going to have great stuff to eat. It's just going to be a blast. I can't wait. So I'll be reporting on that next week, because this is the first one that we've done. And depending on how we all feel about it afterwards, we might do it again next year. And if you like what you hear after we report on the event, then you might want to consider it when I post the next workshop schedule this coming November. So anyway, that's what I'll be up to near the end of the week and really looking forward to it. Let's talk about sizzle picks for a moment. So I was thinking, you know, based on, you know, what I experienced here at the studio with my sizzle picks gallery downstairs, that, you know, if you really want to blow away your friends and family with your photography, I'm sure they see what you post on Facebook and Instagram, things like that. But if you really want to show them how good you are, you should consider getting a 5K ultra high definition sizzle picks and hanging it on the wall at your house or your office. Then when they come over and they see that, they'll go, wow, you're a serious photographer. You really know what you're doing. And that is an amazing photograph. That's not the kind of thing that you're going to get by looking at Instagram or Facebook. Not that I'm against that, but that is different than what I'm talking about. That is real-time communication. This is art. This is art on the wall. So if you want to do that, here's what I recommend that you do. You can just give it a try right now. You can get a free mini proof before production. So you go ahead, place your sizzle picks order at sizzlpix.com. And then in the comments field, put proof first, TDS, in the comments space, and you'll get a mini proof of your image. It'll be of a section of your image. You can look at that and just see how crazy wonderful it is. You like it, which I suspect you will, then you can go ahead and give the okay for them to finish the job. That is what I recommend you do. If you really want to impress folks, give this a try. sizzlpix.com. It's like a ultra high definition retina display you can hang on the wall, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. All right, what else we got going on here? I mentioned last week for the first time, and a lot of people let me know that they didn't know about this. So I'm going to mention again this week, this is about Red River Paper, that they have a discounts and clearance page where you can get some really great deals. And I have a link to it in the show notes. And it varies, you know, that's why you got to go back there and, you know, check on a regular basis. Sometimes they'll have ink and certain types of paper. Sometimes they'll have greeting card stock. Sometimes they'll have panorama stuff. You never really know the variety of items that you'll see there. That's what makes it fun. The other thing that makes it fun is that you can get like a 45% discount on it. And this is on paper and goods that are already discounted because Red River Paper, they make the stuff, they ship the stuff, no middleman, and they pass those savings along to you. So they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Treat yourself to some new paper stock. Try something new. Get a new look. And, you know, a great place to experiment with new papers by seeing what they have over at the discounts and clearance page at Red River Paper. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. I'm getting ready to go to Bodie. Pretty excited about this. I love the Eastern Sierra, and I promise I'll give you a good report when I get back. Until then, have a great week. You go take some pictures, and we'll meet back here next time. Until then, bye-bye now.